Praise God. All right, we got that going. All right, guys, welcome back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Just want to thank God for all of you who are coming back here to church. Amen. Sure is a blessing. And we're just going to go over some quick announcements before we get started. And then a little church, you guys can go with Miss Katie when she's done with any testimony that she might be stirred, amen, to share from our yesterday soul winning. So as you guys know, church, I announced it last Wednesday that my wife and I in our recovery, thank God our physical therapy went well Friday, and he was encouraging us to continue to move our bodies, if you will, to keep doing little exercises here and there. So I purposed on my heart to go back to our evangelism ministry for just 1 hour to get ourselves going, because for those of you who don't know, you guys know my wife and I, before our accident, guys, we were soul winning for like 3 to 4 hours on a Saturday. We'd go door to door, apartment knocking for about an hour and a half, and then we go downtown to the beach for another hour and a half to two. So we've been at it, and it really burdens me that we can't go because we're just kind of still recovering from our pain. But yesterday, guys, we had a great time. My wife and I, we went to the beach, hon, if you want to make your way up here. Little do we know that it was the American Samoan traditional celebration. They had a lot of different Christian groups, if you will, singing from their churches. And I think it was a benefit because there was a lot of, if you will, spiritual support there. Amen. A lot of Usos were coming by and saying, God bless you, brother. Amen. I was like, hey, all right.
They were singing.
They were singing, having a good time. So here we are, Katie and I, with our little our scripture signs and just passing out flyers. We had a great time. So, Katie, why don't you go share testimony, and then I'll end.
Yeah, so we had a really good time going down, witnessing. I feel like there was more reception because of that event. There was a lot of people just like taking the flyers a lot easier. And I only had maybe 3 rejections out the whole hour that we were there. We were doing pretty well. The sun was beating down. It was really hot that day. But we just kept, pushing on. And towards the end of it, I started feeling the fatigue and, the body pain just kind of like coming back. But it was more of a blessing going out there and just being able to share the gospel, with people and having conversations with others and just reassuring them on their salvation. So I feel like we had a pretty good day yesterday. It was pretty good soul winning. Good getting back into it, at least.
Amen.
For us.
Thank you, wife. Appreciate you. Yeah, guys, it was a blessing. Had a great time to witness and encourage a lot of people. Spoke with a couple of Samoans, and then I was asking the Lord to give me a good discussion with some folks, because some of you guys know, Brother Carlos, I get in it. I believe the gift that God gave me to teach, but my spiritual gears start turning whenever I get a discussion to defend the faith. So I had a great conversation with two young people from another denomination religion. They disagree with us on a lot of things, but nevertheless, I had an answer for them. And the young guy that I was talking to, if you guys see his countenance, every time I would give him a scripture verse, you could see it working, but the lady was kind of, hesitating. So had a chance to encourage one young man about his salvation. That was a blessing. And then had a lot of great conversations with a lot of other people. So it was good to get back out there. It was good to kind of reclaim our posts on Saturdays like we used to. And I'm just thankful. So church, remember, if you guys can, please avail yourself for soul winning. We met yesterday at 11. I think for the rest of this month, we're just going to take it easy with public downtown outreach. So I'm just going to vocalize it now so you can prepare yourself. For Saturdays, let's go and meet here at 11 o'clock. We're going to pray, get in the Word of God. Then we'll get our flyers, get our scripture signs. We'll carpool to the beach. We'll go out there for about an hour, hour and a half, and then we'll call it a day. So that'll be the direction for Saturdays. For the Thursday, though, at the Sunset, at the soul winning at the Sunset Market, this coming Thursday, the 13th, we will be going downtown as well. So we'll be meeting here at 5:30 at the church to pray, get our scripture signs again, and then we'll go downtown to the Sunset Market. So please join us for evangelism if you can. One more announcement. I got a phone call from my friend, Brother Josh Stevenson from El Cajon, and I was so thankful. Right after we were done soul winning, we were making sandwiches, my wife and I at Winko getting ready. And so they're going to have their Comic-Con outreach on the 19th or 23rd. That Saturday, though, is the outreach. So I think some of you joined us last year. Some of you have never been there with us before. And this is a very great time for evangelism, if you will. So if you have not been with us yet in evangelism, I encourage you to get your feet wet with us here, because this is going to be like Oceanside on steroids. I'm talking about there are thousands of people literally walking all around you. You just have to be like, track, track, track. You don't really have time for one-on-one conversations. It's really just there to pass out tracks like crazy and then come back for some free barbecue. That's pretty much how it went. But if you guys would like to join my wife and I, we'll be going down there on that Saturday for the, if you will, the Comic-Con outreach. And then they're going to be having some special guest speakers. They have their midweek Bible study on the Wednesday all the way through the Sunday evening. So again, church, these are my friends, and I would like to encourage you to join us, if you will. And if you would like to, carpool. I already showed you guys the shirts we ordered from last week. I think it'll be a great opportunity if you guys want to order your shirts tomorrow. They're only $13.30. Remember, guys, these cool shirts, Jesus Saves. Some of the sisters designed this one, and I think this is really cool. If we want to represent our church, we can order them, and we can have them before that weekend, so we can go down there, if you will, looking cool as a church club, if you will. And so we'll talk about it. If you guys want to carpool, let's get together, and that should be a blessing. So I just want to let you know, Brother Josh, he sends his hellos. Amen to our church family. And good if you guys want to go down there. So those are the upcoming announcements. Don't forget, guys, in September, Brother Lordson Rock is going to be coming from India. I bought his plane ticket, and I'm asking our church family little by little to just start storing, if you will, on your free will offering, just a couple of dollars here until then. You know, instead of that coffee, instead of that chip, if you will, at work, instead of those snacks, why don't you just put a couple of dollars in a little cup, and then September, when Brother Lordson comes, when we have our special guest week that week for service times, we'll let you know, and that way we can just bless him before he goes back to where he's going to go flying out from Kansas. He's going to be spending a couple of days with our church, and so I'll give you guys, you know, more details as we come along. But until then, guys, I just would like to ask you in love, please start considering that out of your free will offering, if you will. That should be a blessing. Don't forget, guys, study blogs. These are here to help you in your live stream links. Don't forget, right now we're only doing podcasts, if you will. I haven't done the video stream yet. I don't want to worry too much about that stuff, so I'll get back to that soon on Facebook and YouTube. If you need prayer, don't forget, guys, you can submit a prayer request here or call my wife for the ladies, call me for the men, and pray. We'll pray right there on the spot. And then last but not least, church, if you are a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you financially purpose in your heart to give for the support of this ministry. We have a box back there, online platforms. Y'all can take care of that between you and the Lord. Just know that God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. So whatever you say, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Just know that that literally makes God's heart happy. And let's just continue to trust the Lord as we move forward. Amen. All right, guys. So those are the quick announcements. Again, it's good to see you guys back at church. And my wife and I are feeling a little better. We're doing the physical therapy exercise at home. And then we will be having more, if you will, therapy throughout the weeks to come. And sure appreciate you guys coming back to church. Let's go ahead and get back now on our verse-by-verse study through the book of Galatians. If you can turn there with me in your Bible to chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Let's go ahead and open up those Bibles together now, friend, so we can let the Lord minister to you, and we can let the Holy Spirit of God feed our soul with the Word of God. And I sure would appreciate your cooperation as we continue in our verse-by-verse study through the Word of God. And don't forget, church, at the end of our service, we are going to have the Lord's Supper. So again, if you are born again and saved, if you have trusted the gospel by faith, then we want to encourage you to obey the Lord in observing the Lord's Supper. Amen. I want to encourage all of you, if you're a Christian here, please join us at the end. We're going to have Brother Giovanni kindly lead the communion service at the end. So please don't just rush out of here. Let's continue to, as a family, take that time serious to examine ourselves and then take it as Scripture tells us to. And that should be a blessing. Amen. All right, guys. Galatians chapter, would you do me a favor? Turn there with me now. And today, as I promised you from last Sunday, we are going to start talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We talked a lot about the works of the flesh, amen. You guys have been educated a lot on verses from the Bible that teach you what sin is, where it originates from. And so far, God has taught us from the Bible that the origin of sin comes from the desires of the heart and of the mind in our mortal body, if you guys remember that. So as we continue here now, let's go ahead and begin to transition now into what the good portion of Galatians 5 is, if you will, the fruit of the Spirit. And so with that said, do me a favor now, Galatians, the 5th chapter. Let's talk about that now. And before we get to verse 22, let's just remind ourselves of the liberty that Christ provides. Now go back to verse 1 quickly. Just go ahead and peruse there in your Bible, chapter 5, verse 1. Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." So remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, not religion, not works, not your water baptism, not anything else, but his personal atonement that he made for you in the cross, his death, his resurrection, And when you invoked on him, that is, when you called upon his name, he saved you. And not only did he save your soul, but he made you free from the power of sin in your mortal body. And the Holy Spirit is teaching Christians in Galatians 5 to stand fast in that power, the power that Christ made sinners free. So going down later on through that particular, if you will, thought, let's continue to follow on that. Look verse number 13. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. My brother Philippe and I have been talking about that a lot lately, about by love and choosing love versus the flesh. Because remember, the salvation that Christ provides Christians, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden all of your teeth problems go away. It doesn't mean your tooth decay goes away. It doesn't mean your earwax goes away, if you get my analogy. It doesn't mean that your skin shade melanin changes into a different color. In other words, that part of sin is still in you, still in your body. But you no longer have to give into it, because why? The liberty Christ provided for you, and I'm going to show you right now, the Holy Spirit's role in ministry in you, he is that active part in you that can help you to say no to the flesh, and he can help you to say yes to love. Yes to love for God and love for your fellow neighbor, to be able to obey him and then hence resist the flesh and so on and so forth. Verse number 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So Christian, don't be surprised that even though you've been saved for many years now, don't be surprised when you can still talk about another Christian behind their back. Don't be surprised when you can still bite and you can still leave some marks. Amen. Some of y'all got scars because of another brother and sister. Again, that liberty, what does it do? It provides you the availability to say no. But what do you have to do? You have to choose. You have to yield. It's not going to be by force. You have to willingly say, God, may you fill me with your Holy Spirit power to say no to pride in my life. May you fill me with your Holy Spirit power to say no to this desire that I have for alcohol or drugs or porn or whatever the case might be that some of you have struggled with before. So then what's the promise? Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the Bible says it's possible. It is possible for you to have victory over sin in your body. But what do you have to do? Walk in the Spirit. I'm going to break that down for you later on today. Some of you are already well familiar. There is a battle. We're not going to go over that. You've been talking a lot about that. There's a battle between your body and that old nature in you and the new nature that Christ created. Battle between the old man and the new man. So now let's continue. We already talked about the works of the flesh. They're bad. They're evident. Verse number 19, that's very obvious. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. What did God tell you already, Christian? Those of you who continue to do that, that's what the Bible says, you're not going to have inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now, verse number 22. But, here's the good news now. In contrast to all the evil that all men, by natural disposition of being born into this world of Adam, in contrast to all that naturally comes to you, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, green, here's what God's Spirit can do for you. Here's what liberty of being a Christian can provide for you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's faith. It's meekness. It's temperance. And now here, look at this part here. Look at that colon. Against such there is no law. So we've been teaching you through Galatians that the laws of Moses cannot save your soul. Religion cannot save your soul. Observing ordinances of the law or traditions, they're not going to help you to be purified in your life. You understand? So against all those things, there's not any of those that are going to help you to restrain that desire inside your mortal body. But the fruit of the Spirit, love can. Love can help you to resist hatred. Joy can help you to resist bitterness. Peace can help you to no longer have sedition and strife between a brother or sister over here. Long-suffering can help you when you don't want to forgive somebody. Gentleness can help you when you don't want to treat somebody good even though they've done you wrong. Goodness, faith, you're not going to find that from the law written on stone. You're only going to find that from the Holy Spirit of God on the inside. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Please fill me now with your Spirit to minister accurately, clearly, the Scriptures. I thank you for those who are here in attendance. Would you please open up their heart and their mind to believe today the Bible as you have it, so that God, the Holy Ghost, can continue to renew hearts and deliver minds from things that they're struggling with here today. I pray, God, that today they would find that the liberty that you provided for them, Lord Jesus, is better than anything through past. It's better than alcohol. It's better than drugs. It's better than pride. It's better than bitterness. It's better than anger. God, your love, your liberty, your precious Holy Spirit is better than us. Today, God, would you help us to find that liberty desirable? I thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, church, how we studied this in depth long ago concerning fruit. How God defines out of the Bible the fruit of one's life and how it can be made evident or obvious through their conduct, through their speech, the words that come out of one man's mouth. What is the evidence that a Christian is being governed by the controlling influence and power of the Holy Spirit? These following characteristic traits of the Son of God in you, verse 22 through 23, love, joy, peace, and so on and so forth. Let's go and remind ourselves, just a couple of verses to read, just to show you again, guys, so what the fruit of one's life can consist of. It's not just doctrine, right? How Jesus warns of false prophets and knowing the fruit thereof. But the fruit of a man's life can consist of a lot of things. So now, allow me now to show you on the screen, just for the sake of time, Bible definitions of fruit of one's life and where it originates from. So just for these next couple of moments, would you do me a favor and just look up to the screen as we go through this quickly. Let's get on the Bible train, Psalm 128. Psalm 128. And like I said, church, I'm just going to show you these quickly for some of the brothers. You guys have the notes, amen? And you can sow a seed later, Brother Felipe. That's not a problem. All right, here we go. Yep, right here, brother. You have the controller right here. Psalm 128, verse number 3. This is just some quick general reminder. The Bible says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." So fruit can literally be what? Physical birth of children. Obviously, that's always said about in the Bible. You guys are familiar with a lot of verses that show you the fruit of the womb, if you will. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, the Bible says here, my friend, in verse number, let's go down to verse number 10. And again, these are just reminding verses. These are just to rehearse these verses here. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. When the unbeliever wants to lure you back, you don't have to listen. You don't have to go through all the way. But there's a party. You don't got to go. But there's some drugs over here. You don't got to go. There's some booze. That's fine, but I'm going to stay here with Jesus. That's cool. That's cool. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent blood without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, as wool, as those that go down the pit, people that just want to murder people. We shall find all precious substance." You know what they're going to tell you? You're going to find some happiness over here. You're going to find some joy in over here. If you just come with us, just come back, just hang out just a little bit. You're going to find something. "We shall fill our houses with spoil." What are we going to entice you to do, believer? Go ahead and cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You know, just go ahead and put your money. Let's all gamble together. And you know what God said? "My son, walk not thou in the way with them." Don't do it. I don't care if they're family. I don't care if they're friends. Don't do it. Why? Because this is the path of an unbeliever who refuses the counsel of the Word of God, and the end thereof, the Bible is going to teach you in a minute, is death. So let's keep reading. "Their feet run to evil." Verse 17, "Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." Verse number 18, "They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives." Verse number 19, "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain." So what is going to call out to you instead of them? Wisdom. Verse number 20. There's two voices that are going to continue to cry out to you today, Christian. It's the Word of God trying to get your attention more than the cell phone. It's the Word of God trying to get your attention more than the parties. And then it's the sinners, the unbelievers, who want to get your attention. There's two people. Who are you going to listen to? Go down with me to verse number 25. "But ye have set at naught all my counsel." So here's God responding to those people who could care less about the Word of God. They would none of his reproof, the Bible says. Verse number 29. "For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." So they could. but they didn't. And then look with me now in verse number 30. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Now listen, verse number 31. Therefore shall they eat of the what? Fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. So what's the second type of fruit? The fruit of the advice, counsel, or thoughts of sinners who rebel against the words of God. Be careful of that fruit. You know who they are. I know who they are in my life. I love my family dearly. They know that in Mexico. I have my friends, my old friend Eric, he called me the other day. I love him dearly. But as soon as he says, hey, Brother Carlos, if you just come back over here for a little bit, you'll be happy if we just do this just one more time. You know, like the good old days. So come on, just one for the heck of it. You know what God said, son? You better not go back. You better avoid that. You know why? Because every day that they rebel against the word of God, what are they going to reap what they sow, brother? The fruit of their own way. So watch out for the fruit of the counsel, of the thoughts of the unbeliever who wants to take you out of the way. Compare that to good fruit, though. The wisdom of God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Like I said, just for the sake of time, you can just look up to the screen because we're going to go through these quickly. Proverbs chapter 8. How many of you guys would rather have the fruit of the Holy Spirit than the fruit of the flesh? Anybody here? Okay, I'm glad. Praise God. We got some spiritual folks that have been here. Amen. All right. Here we have it now. Verse number 1. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Some of y'all be listening more to Google and Siri than the Word of God. Some of y'all be listening more to the movies than the Word of God. But it's crying out to you. Daughter, I want to talk to you this morning. Son, I want to spend time with you, but you worry too much about what you look like. You worry too much about family and friends. And so therefore, what's going to happen? You're not going to get the fruit. Look at verse 6. Look at what wisdom says. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be what? Right things. That's why Christians sometimes don't want to read the Bible, because it tells them what they're doing is wrong. And it says this is right. I don't have time to rabbit trail, but just telling you now, that's good. This is the fruit of the Spirit of God's counsel. He wants to teach you how to do right. But when you want to keep arguing with God, it's not Brother Carlos. Some of y'all know that. I'm just giving you the Bible. I'm just telling you, friend, now you know the issue. That flesh, you've been feeding it too much. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, for wisdom is better than rubies. So better than trying to get all the overtime. It's better than trying to get the money. It's better than trying to get all the things you're trying to invest in. Bible says, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So the Holy Spirit is telling you that spending time reading the Bible is just a little bit better than spending time with your family, with your friends, going to work. Because that cannot fit you on the inside to be better, godlier, more righteous, more holy. So point C, the fruit of God's wisdom can be received by those who seek it and receive from it. Point 4, Proverbs chapter 12. Remember what I said earlier about the fruit of a man's lips? So not just the end result of a decision, like an unwanted pregnancy, or you got blacked out because you're drunk, or you ended up going to jail because of a bribery. You know, in other words, I'm not talking about that's the fruit of their decision. But the Bible also defines the fruit of a man's mouth. Your speech, your communication, and the manner of how you communicate. Look at Proverbs 12 with me now, verse 14. Again, for the sake of time, just look up to the screen. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of what? His mouth. And the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Proverbs 13, verse number 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. So what are you feeding yourself with today, Christian? Are you feeding yourself good fruit or evil fruit? What's been coming out of your heart? That's what you're going to be eating in return. You want more good fruit? Let's get some good words coming out of there. How about we read the Bible a little bit more so we can figure out how we ought to treat each other and communicate and speak? And that's what, likewise, you're going to feed. But the more that you and I transgress the Word of God, what are we going to eat? We're going to eat the fruit of violence. Look with me now one more on this topic. Chapter 18, verse number 20. Proverbs 18, verse number 20. The Bible says here, friend, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So now I understand why Christian spiritual over here, they want to keep reading the Bible. They want to go to church early, be there on time and serve, and because they love that fruit. Now I know why Christian carnal over here want to keep sinning and drinking, smoking, toking, not going to church, not reading their Bible, not evangelizing, not doing anything for the Lord. Why? Because they love that fruit. What fruit do you love today, Christian? Like that good fruit? Or do you like the evil fruit? You know what God said? That's what's going to satisfy you. I just want you to understand that the more you feed your flesh, you're not going to be satisfied. That's why you keep doing more and more and more of it. You're not satisfied. You want to be satisfied? The Word of God, the wisdom, the fruit of the Spirit, that is going to satisfy you, my friend. Point E, Matthew chapter 3. Now it's going to get hot, Brother Felipe, so thank you for turning on that AC. Amen. How many of you guys still like the Bible? Anybody here? All right, Matthew chapter 3. Again, sake of time, just look up to the screen. We're going to go through these quickly. I'll tell you when to turn your Bible. So point D, we talked about the fruit of one's mouth, our speech, our communication. What goes out is what's going to come in. When John the Baptist started his ministry, he was out there preaching. Remember that, Judea? Repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand! Repent! Make straight the crooked paths. Remember that, John the Baptist? He was a wild man, the Bible says, humble. He said in verse number 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. This, my friend, is the evidence of one sincere repentance that is visible before others. A lot of Christians don't like this wisdom because their flesh fills them with pride when they are asked to, now listen, prove their sincerity by action. But that's what we must do to show ourselves approved before God and men. There's nothing wrong when your pastor and leadership call upon you to show some proof or evidence of your profession through your obedience. Because think about it. When you don't, doesn't that show or demonstrate you're lacking in that area? So what did John the Baptist say? Bring forth fruit meet for repentance. You're really sincere? Then stop doing that and do what I'm asking you to do. Oh, you're sincere over here, tax collector and Roman officer and Pharisees? Then stop doing that and show me that you're ready to get under this water by following my orders. A lot of Christians don't like that. When they're passed along their side and say, brother, show me. Where's your proof, sister? Where you been at? There's no fruit following that profession. So again, I'm just showing you now. That's the fruit. Point E. This is more some of you guys are familiar with. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7 on the screen. You guys are familiar with a lot of this. Jesus warning his disciples of false prophets, the fruit that can be identified. Again, before we get to the fruit of the Spirit, I just want to give you now one more lesson on the fruit of your flesh, that it's so evident. There are results. But there are multiple types of fruit the Bible defines for you. Your conduct, fruit of the womb, the fruit of your speech, mouth, the words coming out of your mouth. He said in Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So what do we have here? We have kind of similar to the point of earlier we spoke about the words coming out of one's mouth. This here now is in context of teaching, doctrine, the spiritual things which one teaches or preaches concerning the person of Christ. You can easily identify a false prophet by the doctrine that is coming out of their mouth. That's the fruit that he is warning you about. A lot of Mormons will do a lot of good things for you, but they believe Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. They're going to go to hell when they die. Jehovah's Witnesses can be nice neighbors, and they're some of my uncles and aunts, but they're going to go to hell when they die. Why? Because they deny that Jesus is God. So I'm just telling you, you have to measure the doctrine by the fruit that comes out of the mouth. We're almost there. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter 6. Go ahead and just look up to the screen now. We're almost done with these points. Let's go to verse number 39. So far, I've shown you that God warns you of the fruit of rebellious counsel from Proverbs. So far, I've shown you that God warns you of the fruit of the words of people's mouth or lips or doctrine, false doctrine. What about you, though, as a disciple, how you treat somebody? What about you on your Christian conduct or conversation with another believer when you judge and point your finger too much rather than pointing the finger to yourself? Let's talk about that. Verse number 40, Luke chapter number 6. Well, let's go to verse number 39. He spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? It's a little hard, brother and sister, when you're trying to help somebody that you have a problem with. Because you're going to fall again. Amen. Anybody here? All right. A little hot in here. Amen. Let's turn that AC. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So he's not saying that you're going to be sinless. He's just saying that you're a little bit more whole or complete or mature. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. Oh, Jesus, I don't like when you call me a hypocrite. Well, there you have it, guys. That's the Bible. Not religion. This is the Bible. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly. Pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. So now look at the context. A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So now, he's not talking about a false prophet, even though he told us that in Matthew. Different perspective, different context. He's talking about you when you're trying to judge a brother or a sister. And you're being a hypocrite. Why? Because you got a beam in your eye. You can't determine or discern the fruit because it's corrupt. So you want to identify it clearly. Take out that beam. Take out the fruit that has been in your heart, evil, root it out, replant some good fruit, and then you'll be able to be spiritual again and start helping out believers. Anybody here? So we have it, the fruit of the state of the condition of disciples. Now, Jesus said in John 15:8 that the Father is glorified when his disciples bear much fruit. Now, turn your Bible with me to Romans chapter 6. Let's get back together now. Hope you have a Bible in your hand, Romans the 6th chapter. First half of this sermon, what are we doing? Reminding ourselves the types of fruit the Bible explains. Now, as we get closer to the fruit of the Spirit, I just want to show you now, be careful with the type of fruit you like to eat, the type of fruit you like to buy, where you like to buy it from. It's either going to be the Spirit through the counsel of His Word, the wisdom of the fruit of the Word of God, or it's going to be your flesh. And obviously the influence of other unbelievers around your life that are going to help you and encourage you. Romans, the 6th chapter. Now let's turn together. So, of everything we just talked about, all the verses we just showed you, before we read this verse, how many of you can honestly say with me that you and I are ashamed of things we used to do before we became a Christian? Everybody here today? Is that safe to say? Okay. I have my regrets. I have my thoughts of depression that I fight every so often because of things that I know I should not have done to offend the living God. So now, with that in mind, the Holy Spirit is going to warn you of the shame that you brought about in your own life. And when He warns you that, He's not doing that to hurt your heart or hurt your feelings, if you will. He's just doing that to remind you, this is what I try to protect you from, but you didn't listen to me, son or daughter. But now that you're listening up, you got to abide right here. Because if you don't, then you're going to, again, you're going to go through that again and again and so on and so forth. Now look at Romans 6:21. The Bible says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. So that's why I said earlier, the origin is death. There's no profit. All my friends, partying it up, drinking it up, smoking it up, it's just death up in that party. My family, cultural celebrations that have nothing to do with the living God, but they're going to defy the living God by practicing certain things they know they shouldn't. And then there's Brother Carlos, Brother Mote, I used to be that guy. And then shame on me when I still did some of those things even after I got saved, because I hadn't yet repented and let the Lord deliver me from certain of those things. But now that I'm in my right mind, now that I no longer do certain of those things, while I'm in my sober state of mind, man, what a shame. What a shame that I used to do that. What a shame that I used to be one of these type of brethren and folks out there that are still lost. And God is right. You know what? I am ashamed of the things I used to do. So now when I meditate on the Word of God, Galatians teaching me how to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, I need to have a healthy conscience response to what? Conviction. To say, man, I should not go back. I better not go back. I don't want to go back, because all I'm going to find is death. Christ is not in those things. That's why he died for my what? Sins. To deliver me. Now, turn your Bible to the next chapter. Maybe it might be there on your same page, Romans 7. And look with me in verse number 5. The Bible says here, my friend, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, keep that highlighted in your Bible or write it down somewhere, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. See that, motions of sins? I don't have a way to explain it to you, so you guys can just look up to me for Brother Carlos' illustration. A motion going on in there. A temptation. The desire. It originates. You think about it. Man, that might feel good. It's all right if I do it again in secret. No one's going to see me. It's working in there. You see that motion? But what did God say? It's only going to bring death, son. It's only going to bring death, daughter. So far, what have the scriptures taught us? The fruit of a man's life consists of a lot of things. Childbearing, man's counsels of the imaginations of their hearts, man's speech or manner of communications with one another, man's consequences to their decisions made in rebellion against the words of God. Is any of that positive for the Christian life? I like how the Holy Spirit asks Christians this powerful question. We read earlier in Romans 6:21, what fruit did you have in those things that you are now ashamed of? The Bible is teaching us as Christians now that we should be ashamed of our lifestyle, our decision-making, the things we used to do in the flesh prior to our conversion, because of the results it brings or will bring in our life thereafter. When God sought to protect us, you know, things like shame, condemnation, depression, guilt. Anybody here? Regret. Anybody here? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll get to the fruit of the Spirit, brother and sister. I know we want to learn more about, man, how can I just get a hold of all that, Brother Carlos? I know I'm wretched, man, so give me the Holy Spirit stuff. I will give you there, but I got to feed you all the counsel so that way you guys can see how dangerous the origin of your desires are when they're not in line with God, and then when he warns you as a son and daughter of what he's trying to protect you from. Ephesians chapter 5, we're almost back in Galatians. Let's starting in verse number 3. Ephesians 5, verse number 3. Writing to Christians, he says, but fornication, sexual misconduct out of marriage, all uncleanness, whatever you behold with your eyes or hear with your ears that are clearly contrary to any holiness of the character of God, whether you're looking at nudity or profanity, vulgarity, anything that's obviously contrary to the holiness of God, covetousness, so there's your envy, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So don't let nobody call you that anymore. Don't do it no more. Anybody here? Neither filth, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What's the warning, number 6? Let no man deceive you with vain words. But it's my parents, Brother Carlos. It's my pastor, or it's a Christian. It's a Google or philosophy or YouTube. You know what the Holy Spirit said? Don't be deceived now. You heard his word. It's up to you now, my friend, to obey what you have learned from the Word of God today. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So again, you and I, before we got saved, you and I were a child of wrath. We know, first of all, because we didn't believe in Jesus, obviously, our unbelief. But you know what got mad, even more angry with you? Every time you fornicated, every time you disobeyed your parent, every time you hated, every time you exercised pride against another human made after the similitude of God, the wrath of God was just filling up. And yes, he'll send you to hell. And yes, he would resurrect you on the great white throne judgment to look at the books and see what's written. Punishment because of all your things. That's why, friend, the Holy Spirit of God says, aren't you ashamed of what you used to do? Don't you know that's the wrath of God because of that? So who wants to be spiritual here? Anybody here? You want to be more faithful? All right, let's keep reading. Verse number 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. What does it mean in the Greek? What you write there in English, my friend. When they're going to start doing it, you don't do it. When they're going to start partying it up again, you don't party with them. When they're going to start doing something that is going to offend the holy nature of God in your body, remember the Holy Spirit, do not partake with them. But Brother Carlos, I thought I got to try to win them by my love and my grace. Yes. But when they say no to you, they rebel, they don't want to hear it now, out comes the booze, out comes the party, you just got to kindly leave and say, I'll be back next time, all right? I ain't going to partake with y'all over here in darkness. I'm up on out of here. Why? There is a God of wrath who has that against what they're doing. I am now saved. I'm in the light. I'm not going to partake with darkness. Anybody here? So you still love them from a distance. You be kind, but I'm not going to hang out when y'all start doing that. I'm going to come back over here. Hey, Brother Carlos, church family, let's hang out. I try to hang out with my friends, my family. You don't have to. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. But now listen, but now are ye light in the Lord. Anybody happy about that? Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit. Now here it is now. We're almost going to get to our second very important lesson. The fruit of the Spirit is in all what? Righteousness, and what's the third part? Truth. So what did he say earlier in Proverbs chapter 8? My lips will speak excellent things. What did he say? I will declare right things. But Brother Carlos, I just felt the Spirit. I felt peace. But if it contradicts the Word of God, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's your flesh. That's just your human spirit. You're trying to mystify it, but that's not. The Holy Spirit is not going to contradict the Word of God so you can partake in the flesh. I was there. Remember that. I'm Brother Moat, Brother Carlos. My friends from my past and my mama can tell you how messed up I was a long time ago because I was foolish. I was ignorant. I was a child of darkness. But now, look at verse number 10. Proving what is what? Acceptable unto the pastor. Is that what it says? Let's read that again. Unto my husband. Nope. Unto the Lord. So who died for you on that cross, anybody? Who rose from the dead to save your soul? So then the next time you ask Brother Carlos, then how should I? Are you going to try to do what's acceptable to Jesus or not? Because that's what's going to determine the rest of the night. Are we here to learn the Word of God so I can please the Lord Jesus or not? The Holy Spirit wants you to learn the Word of God so you can prove this is what Jesus says is okay. This is what Jesus says is not okay. It's simple. Now, you said earlier that you did want to be spiritual. Remember, you raised your hand? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. But I thought we're not supposed to judge. Well, the Bible says you better. Because if you don't, then you're going to mess up your life. Before you know it, darkness creeps back in, and that's why you're not spiritual. So when a Christian chooses to be spiritual and obeying the command to study the Bible, to see if the Bible permits that or not, it's pretty simple. Before you call your pastor, church leadership, friend or brother, saved, why not call upon the Lord and Savior and ask the Holy Spirit to help you discover the truth about what you're doing in your life? But brother and sister, if God sees that you do not want to repent from that yet, do not be surprised why you do not change your life yet, because you're willfully still choosing the flesh versus Christ. The moment that God sees in the sincerity and the integrity of your heart, the willingness, the desire to repent, that's when his power in you will help you to wholly turn from those things which are weighing you down. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So, brother and sister, I warn you ahead of time, when your pastor or spiritual Christian friend shows you from the Bible how you must conduct yourself in this life concerning your situation, do not get mad or upset with the vessel. We are just simply feeding you the wisdom of God. Is there anyone here today? Anyone here? The Holy Spirit said to have no fellowship. Look at verse. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but what? Rather reprove them. That's pretty heavy. Notice what the Holy Spirit calls those works of the flesh and the end result of them. When men satisfy their heart's desire versus the heart of God. The unfruitful works of darkness. Verse number 12, he says, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So guys, this is why my wife and I do not want to be around the drunkards drinking their alcohol. The tokers toking their marijuana, their drugs. Why? Because it's a shame before the living God. Now, of course, we know the balance of trying to win them to Christ. I spend time with unbelievers, family, and friends. I show them grace and charity. But now listen, the minute they begin to make their minds unsober or perform acts that defy God in public, I do not have to abide in their presence. I can say, family, I love you. I'm up on out of here. Call me when y'all are. I ain't going to do this, and I'll be right here. And you know what? If I'm not a jerk, you know what? They'll kindly receive that. I can tell you right now that some of my family members in Mexico, and I'm not going to publicly state it, but some of you guys know what some of them are, they won't practice that stuff with my wife and I. Why? They respect us. We've shown them grace. But they know. I told my sister straight up, y'all start doing that, we're up on out of here. And they kindly don't do it until we leave. Then the party comes out. Amen. The music. But until then, what are we doing? We're just trying to love on them with the word of God. So I want you to know, guys, yes, there is a balance. There's nothing wrong with you trying to spend time with your friend or family who's not saved. But if they are rejecting your counsel, if they are going to refuse and they bust out the booze and they're obviously defiantly living against it, you don't have to hang out there, guys, because it's not going to be good for your spirit. So what do? I'll come back later. That's all you got to say. And then you call another Christian friend, go on a walk, do something else. Amen. Verse 13, go to Winko, do some. All things that are reproved are manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Before we close on this topic, brother and sister, you have two choices. You can either be, as the Bible says, a foolish Christian, or you can be a wise Christian. The choice is yours. How will you determine that depends upon your heart response to the Word of God today. Are the Scriptures your authority, or are your feelings? Is the Bible your authority, or the counsels and imaginings of your heart? Now, you don't have to answer publicly. Again, this is between you and God. But that's how you will show God in men if you're either foolish or wise. Real simple. Verse number 17, but God's will, he says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He doesn't want you to be foolish. He wants you to be wise. Anybody here? So there you have it, believer. God wants you to grow in your understanding of how to take care of your body, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. You and I just simply need to stop making excuses and start making time to study, to learn from the Father how to properly bear fruit for the Savior. Anybody here? All right, let's go back to our base text before we close. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Back to our base text, Galatians, the fifth chapter. What do we talk about then, the first half of this sermon, Brother Carlos? We all are going to bear fruit. We have the fruit of our lips. words that come out of our mouth. We have the fruit of our conversation or conduct. We have the fruit of our speech, our manner of treating others. We have the fruit of our flesh, of our heart, desires of the mind. When controlled, the Bible calls those things unfruitful works of darkness. God warned us of how we should have shame now concerning how we used to do it. So that way we don't reap the consequence of what? The outcome. Guilt, regret, sadness, and you guys know what you battle with because of things you did long ago that some of you might still battle with. I know I do. I'm Brother Moat. So now that I know how wretched I am, Brother Carlos, can you help me out before I go? Yes, Galatians 5, I'm glad the Bible is my authority. In light of all that, in light of all the flesh, the carnality, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, green. Again, we just inherited Daddy Adam's nature. Here's what the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ provided for you. And now here is the availability of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Here's what he can give you. The first one is love, fruit of the Spirit. Love, in a general sense, is to be pleased with affection on account of some qualities which excite pleasing sensations or desire of gratification. For example, we love a friend on account of some qualities which give us pleasure in society, those around us. In short, we love whatever gives us pleasure and delight, whether animal, intellectual. If our hearts are right, we love God above all things as the sum of excellence and all attributes which can communicate happiness to intelligent beings. In other words, the Christian loves God with the love of complacency in his attributes, the love of benevolence towards the interests of his kingdom, and so on and so forth. Love is not a feeling, if you will, concerning the flesh. It is a virtue that the Holy Spirit gives you of the love of God in your heart. In other words, Jesus taught very clearly in the Gospels, sinners love sinners. That's not the fruit of the Spirit, holy love, you understand? Homosexuals say they love each other all day long. Pedophiles say they love children, you understand? It's not a natural love that we all inherit by birth where we can express this imagery of God in its fallen state. This love is going to be in complete harmony with the love of God. When you exhibit love by the fruit of the Spirit of God, you are going to love like him. You are going to forgive like him. But now, for the things that God hates, as you're learning the fear of God, you're going to begin to hate the things that God hates. Why? Because that's God's love in you. The Bible says in 1 John 4 that God is love. We'll give you all the verses next Sunday, Lord willing, but we're going to just break it down to you little by little for today. The next one is joy. What is joy? The passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or excitement, pleasurable feelings which is caused by success, you know, good fortune, the gratification of desire or some good possessed, you know, when Brother Felipe polishes his car, man, he gets happy. Look at that shine. Brother Giovanni cuts that wood. Man, I'm happy. I got some wood now for my... It's joy. You get it because you got a desire met, right? Festivity, happiness, a glorious state, joy, nothing wrong with that. Holy Spirit can give you. You don't need alcohol to feel happy. Anybody here? You don't need to watch porn to feel happy. Anybody here? You don't need anything in this world to make you feel happy. The Holy Spirit of God can help you to feel happy, believer, if you let him. The next one is peace. In a general sense, it's a state of quiet tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. You know, when you feel peace between you and another individual, perhaps you feel peace in the mind. Peace sometimes can mean, for example, a time of war or battle with nations. You know, there's peace between two opposing nations. Peace in public, freedom from agitation, freedom from disturbance by the passions, as from fear, the opposite of fear, peace. I'm not scared. I feel okay. I'm in an okay presence. I'm not obviously feeling terror, anxiety, so on and so forth. That's peace. I don't feel peace, Brother Carlos, until I smoke that weed. Then you have the wrong peace. That's not God. I don't have peace until my wife gives me this or my husband gives me this. Then you're not experiencing the peace of God. The peace of God is supernatural. It's given to you by faith. It's not going to be carnally earned, if that makes sense. I had to learn that the hard way. Anybody here? Long-suffering. Look at the next one. Long-suffering. Bearing injuries or, now listen, provocation for a long time. You say, what does that mean, Brother Carlos? My wife, man, she is just constantly nagging at me, man. Katie's not here, amen. She says, don't tell Katie, amen. This is not true, all right, y'all. This is Brother Carlos' illustration, okay? But, man, my wife, she does not stop yelling at me. She does not stop, you know, demanding of me certain things. She is just like, man, trying to rule and dominate. The Holy Spirit of God in my heart, you know what he said, Carlos? Yes. You can put up with that. You're right. Thank you. So here comes my wife. She's coming in again. Rather than going like, I can smile. Man, kid, I love you, girl. Man, you're so good looking today. I can suffer long while she's provoking me. Okay, let's flip it. Husband. Woo! Husband comes back home. The wife's been keeping the house. Not working right now, taking a good time. The husband comes with an attitude from the workplace. Wife, you didn't deserve that. You were washing dishes, getting the dinner ready. But he just rips into you, expecting for you to go up and down and clean this place up and down. And Holy Spirit whispers in your heart, daughter, remember what I said? Yes, Lord. You can put up with that. You're right, I can. You smile at your husband. You know what, husband? I hope you had a good day. I'm sorry that you went through that, but I love you. That's long-suffering. You know why you haven't been able to do that? It's because you've been walking after the flesh. The Holy Spirit in you will help you to put up with people that provoke you, that make you mad, angry, bitter, rub you the wrong way. The Holy Spirit can help you to exercise this, but you have to let him. Another word for long-suffering is patient. Not easily provoked. If you want more verses on that, we'll give it to you next week, but ahead of time, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity suffereth long. It bears with offenses for a long time. A long suffering, and by the way, Felipe, I didn't make this up. Look at the definition. An uncomplaining wife. How about that, Giovanni, right there? So I'm just telling you, enduring, forbearing, meek. Next one is gentleness. What is gentle? It originates from an old school Anglo-Saxon word, genteel behavior. How many of you guys ever heard of a gentleman before? Anybody a gentleman? People used to be like that back in the days. Not like these days anymore. Gentlemen, you know, we used to hold the door open for your lady. Like Brother Giovanni said, remember Brother Giovanni in our prayer? We used to, man, just spoil our ladies before we got with them and all that stuff. Because you're trying to, hey, girl, I want you to know, man, I'm in love with you. I'm going to open up the door for you. I'm going to buy you all that and get in debt. Amen. But that genteel behavior that says, I'm going to exhibit to you goodness. I mean, you look crazy right now, but girl, I still love you. Man, I still think you're handsome. I'm just going to exhibit to you that gentle behavior, which is what? It's a softness of your manner. It's a mildness of your temper. It's the sweetness of your disposition. It's meekness. It's kindness. It's benevolence. It's when you treat somebody with a good and kind, soft spirit. My wife is very gentle. You guys know Katie, man. I don't know how she puts it with me. Some of you are like, man, Katie's got it going on. But sometimes Sister Katie can get a little bold, okay, man? You know what I'm saying? And I experience the opposite of what you guys see. Oh, gentle Katie. She punches me every so often, and she keeps me in my place, amen. But you know what? We're gentle. You women are so blessed, biological women. Anybody got to say that nowadays? Because God put it within your nature to be a nurturer by birth. You have within your physiology as women a hormone called dopamine. And that is expressed, for example, Sister Maribel and those who've been women or mothers, when you give birth to a child, there is a sensation that kicks over your brain. That's called dopamine. God put that in there so you can just feel so much happiness and joy for the birth of your child. When you're breastfeeding, there's dopamine kicking in. Why? Because you're bonding with your child. When you're intimate with your spouse, what happens? There's dopamine kicking in because you're bonding. There's a gentleness in there. Women, physiologically, you guys already have that nature within you. But what happens with our wives or women when they want to start dominating again? The curse of Eve comes out every so often, Brother Carlos, and she just wants to lead, and I'm supposed to lead, and she doesn't want to submit, and I'm trying. It's because the flesh. They could. You could, brother. You just got to let the Spirit of God help you to be gentle, sweet, soft, kind. And by the way, do you know who this is describing? Anybody here? Jesus. I'm just letting you know now, husband and wife. talking about being Christ-like. We're not talking about how to be a better Baptist. We're talking about how to be a better Christian. Anybody here? All right, now we're almost done. Goodness. Goodness. Fruit of the Spirit, goodness. It's the state of being good. The physical qualities which constitute value, excellence, or perfection as the goodness of timber or soil. In other words, you identify that this is good material. You judge it between what is obviously your standard of say, man, that's not a good tire to buy, that's not a good wood or food, you understand? Number one, the goodness of morality. For example, Christian morality, moral virtue of religion. Number two, kindness, benevolence, benignity of heart, or more generally, the acts of kindness, charity, etc. Mercy, compassion. Are you a good Christian? Do you just treat people with kindness, compassion when they don't deserve it? If you are, then you're the Spirit-filled Christian. If you find yourself struggling with that, it's because your flesh. Now you know the answer, brother and sister. Okay, verse number 22, faith. Almost done. Faith, the belief, the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. In other words, you see it without believing it. Anybody here? It's the assent of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another, belief. In other words, you don't see it, but you believe in it. Faith is a firm, cordial belief in the veracity of God in this sense, to believe his word, all things that he's declared unto us. The object of belief, your conviction, etc., etc. God can give you that fruit of faith to believe even when things don't seem to be believable beyond comprehension. We'll talk about that in depth next Sunday. Last two, meekness. This is one of my favorite ones, by the way. Meekness. Meekness is softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance. Now listen, under injuries and provocations. You say, what does that mean, Brother Carlos? Here's what meekness is. Your wife just yelled at you. Your spouse just disrespected you. Your pastor just hurt your feelings. Your job, your supervisor, your manager, they came off you the wrong way. While that hurts, while you're offended, it's the ability for you to still be good, gentle, meek towards them, compassionate towards them. That's what meekness is. It's still doing good when you hurt. You don't feel like it. That's meekness. It's still submitting when you don't want to. That's meekness. That's what the Spirit of God can help you with. And then lastly, temperance. Temperance. Temperance is another word for moderation, particularly habitual moderation in regard to the indulgence of the natural appetites and passions. Restrained or moderate indulgence, as temperance in eating and drinking, temperance in the indulgence of joy or mirth, temperance in eating and drinking is opposed to gluttony or drunkenness, etc., etc. Patience, calmness, sedateness, moderation of passion. Where can you exercise more self-control, brother and sister? For those of you who are married, if and when you don't have the intimacy fulfilled, you can be a little bit more temperate. Control the desire. For those of you who have a difficulty submitting to your authorities or those over you in the faith, as the Lord says, you can calm it down a little bit more. For those of you who are just given to immediately, I'm just going to say that, speak what's on my mind, you know, real quick, just off the whim without praying first, you can exercise temperance a little bit more. As we come to a close with this, and I know we're already done, so last notes, we'll close. Let's rehearse so far what Galatians 5 has taught, how a Spirit-filled Christian will live before others. Here it is, last notes. Number one, we through the Spirit, Galatians 5:5. Walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. But if ye be led of the Spirit, Galatians 5:18. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. So the last question I have for you all is this. What is a Spirit-filled Christian? How does the Bible actually define for us what a spiritual Christian looks like, how they live, or how they conduct themselves before God and man? Some of you have been taught by your influence of Christianity that Holy Ghost-filled Christians are people who just simply walk around prophesying, healing people of their sicknesses, diseases, casting out unclean spirits, you know, speaking words of wisdom into random folks on the street or the church. But did you read any of that in Galatians chapter 5? What is a spirit-filled Christian? A spirit-filled Christian now is a believer who willingly yields to the authority of the Scriptures, whereby they submit themselves to the governing power and influence of the Holy Spirit inside of them, who will aid and help them from fulfilling the desire of their flesh. That's a spirit-filled Christian. A spirit-filled Christian is not one who knows all things. It's one who is restraining this from coming out. Anybody here? So all of us, church, who've been born again, if you've been given the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit ministry in your life is to help you resist the power of sin in your mortal body by His power in that body. As to how much or the extent you will experience the filling of the Spirit depends upon the willingness of your heart to obey today. Do you truly and genuinely desire to be led of the Spirit? Then yield to His Scriptures. When He teaches you the truth about things that are evil and He commands you to repent of from continuing to do, when you and I choose not to yield, He will kindly and graciously let the flesh lead us to destruction, because He will not force or impose the will of God from coming to fruition in our life. Remember, we have a relationship with the living God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30 that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that Christians can hurt the heart and feelings of the Holy Spirit? He's the invisible friend given to all who trust the gospel, not just to regenerate you, you know, to be born again, seal you so you can never lose salvation. But guys, He's been given you to help you to resist sin. So therefore, all of us now have no excuse moving forward. You can't blame your lack of theology training, Brother Carlos, concerning how I should or shouldn't live. You just heard this sermon right there in English for you. Moving forward, God reminded us that we have the help and presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is simply waiting upon your daily devotion to Him when He sees your sincere heart say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Anybody here? So we're going to close there in prayer. And Brother Giovanni is going to come and conduct the Lord's Supper. So again, church, we went over time a few minutes. Would you do me a favor? Let's begin to prepare ourselves for prayer. He's going to come up here, and if Brother Felipe and a couple of other brothers, can you guys pass out the elements? Amen. As we get ready for the Lord's Supper, we want to encourage you to stay with us, pray with us, and we want to thank you for today's fellowship here. Amen. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and close our service, and then Brother Giovanni will make his way up here to lead the Lord's Supper. Amen. All right now. Thank you so much. May the Lord bless you.